And Taisa starts off by assuming the same betalus. They assume the same is true regarding a talus. If you didn't have a talus before you started to daven and you get the talus in between Kriyash Mashman Esrei, you should put it on and you should say a bracha also on the talus and on the tefillin, and that's not a hefsek. The Chaim Atzinu, that one of the Balei HaTaisis, Shabbani Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda Shoha HaTaliso, he has someone to bring him a talus for Shoha Shaliach. The Shaliach took a while, and this Rishon had already recited Kriyash Ma, so he put on the talus in between the Kriyash Ma and the Shman Esrei. And he brought the right from this Gemara, they're putting on talus and tefillin, since it's important, it enhances the davening, so that's why it's not considered a hefsek, and you even say the bracha. So Taisus says, they're not so convinced that both points are correct. Point number one is, what's the tushtal? The Gemara only talks about the significance of wearing tefillin when you recite Kriyashma, when you say Shmon Esrei, because the Gemara says that one, two lines from the bottom of the daf. Homarula, by the tiny letter hey, kolakari kriyashma below tzilin, when you say kriyashma, so you say, shartim lo sal yadecha b'hayir tzatavit b'inenech. You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to put on tzilin. The fellow who's reciting kriyashma is not wearing tzilin. So he's demonstrating he doesn't believe in this. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, he's not going to do it. So the Gemara says, kila meid eid sheker, bi'atzmo. Who is bi'atzmo? Rashi and Taisus say it doesn't mean he's made a sheker on himself. Batzma means on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi writes, Rishna Ma'alya. Taisus says also, Batzma means against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Rabbani Shalom told us the weird feeling, but I don't hold from it. I don't hold from the Rabbani Shalom, I don't hold from the whole story of Tum. So the Gemara only says it with respect to tefillin, because tefillin you're obligated to wear under all circumstances. Every day you have to wear tefillin. Talit, tzitzis is only an obligation. If you happen to be wearing a four-corner garment, then you're obligated to put on tzitzit. If you're not wearing a four-corner garment, you're not obligated. And you're not obligated to put on a four-corner garment in order to have any tzitzit. So that's the Taisus makes the first distinction. The company is Shlachalik and Tzillin and Talis. That Tzillin is important to whoever davens or says Kriyashma without Tzillin, Kilameh Edesheka Biatma Pirish Ba'adon, is if he demonstrates that he doesn't believe in it. Shetziva Shehu Kori Lahirat Tzavas. The Rav Shalom commanded us to wear the tefillin and he's not wearing it. And davening also, you should wear the tefillin. That's number one. Then Taisus says at the end, they're not so convinced that even though Rav put on the tefillin in between Kriyat Shema and Shemona Esrei, it neither says in the Gemara that he said a bracha. Maybe putting on the tefillin is not a hefsek, then maybe reciting the bracha. Normally, kol ha-mitzvos kulam mevarech aleihem v'ovel asiyasim, you should really say the bracha in advance. But over here, when he's putting on the tefillin in between Kriyashma and Nishman Esrei, so maybe just put on a tefillin without a bracha. Do you have such a thing? That a person puts on tefillin and then he says the bracha later? So Taisus says, yeah, we find it. That's how Taisus says, ends up. There isn't even a proof with respect to the tefillin from the Gemara. Can't even prove that. Because the matzilimei minich tefillin b'loi bracha. Alach Nishman Esrei, it would be mamashmash b'hem umavarach alein. What's the significance of memashmish b'hem? What's the significance of that you're about to put, the person is going to put on tefillin without a bracha in between Kriyashma and Shmona Esrei, in order to say Kriyashma with tefillin, in order to have Shmona Esrei with tefillin, fine. But it's not necessary to say the bracha then, so I'll say the bracha later on. But all the bracha should really have been recited, Oival Asiyasam, and he was going to say the bracha. So it makes it a little bit better. It looks like it's Eivel Asiyasam if he touches the Tzvon Shal Yad and the Tzvon Shal Rosh as he's about to recite the Bruch. This is the question, why does it help? What does the Mimashmish Bahem help? So classically, the Gemara has that later in Bruchas. So traditionally, it's always been assumed, Tzvon Rav Moshe Feinstein, was always assumed that this idea, Mimashmish Bahem, only applies by Tzvon and Tzitzis, where he's still wearing the Tzvon. He's still wearing the Tzitzis. And basically, it is Eivel Asiyasam. He still continues to wear the tefillin and tzitzis. That's that person hung up a mezuzah on the door, and for some reason or another, he did not say a bracha when he put up the mezuzah. And now he's not, there's an ongoing kiyama mitzvah. He's in fulfillment of the mitzvah mezuzah, calls man the mezuzah is on the door, but he's not doing the maisa mitzvah. And the bracha is recited only when you perform a maisa mitzvah, not when you have a kiyama mitzvah. Let's say I move into a house and there is a mezuzah on the door already, from the previous tenant, the kosher mezuzah on the door. So that as long as the previous tenant was there, he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now that I move in, The previous tenant is no longer fulfilling the mitzvah. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. So why say a bracha? Shek Tereshanim and says to the Sivanu, Loda Babai Sheesh Bo Mezuzah. That's what the Magen Avraham says. If you move into an apartment that has a mezuzah, for a kosher mezuzah, in the previous tenant, you say a bracha, Shek Tereshanim and mitzvah. So the Sivanu, Loda Babai Sheesh Bo Mezuzah. So the Achrayim, you look in the last piece of Cheshuvah and Yeridei Hilchos Mezuzah, he quotes the Birkei Yosef by the Chido who disagrees with this Magen Avraham. He says, Rav Apos can disagree with the Magen Avraham. And they say, there is no such thing. You don't say a bracha over a kiyum ha-mitzvah. You only recite a bracha when you're performing a ma'isa ha-mitzvah. Let's say, I'm not well enough or whatever. I don't know how to do it. So I ask you, do me a favor, put a mezuzah on my door. So you're doing a mitzvah, gmilas chasor, am I doing me a favor? But I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah. But you say the bracha, shekir hashem tassan al-kviyas mezuzah. Because the bracha is recited by the one who performs the ma'isa ha-mitzvah. Not by the one who has the kiyum ha-mitzvah. Sometimes you have a kiyum ha-mitzvah without a ma'isa ha-mitzvah, you don't say a bracha. If you have a ma'isa ha-mitzvah without a kiyum ha-mitzvah, then you do say a bracha. The one who nails the mezuzah on my door says the bracha, l'kvar mezuzah. He doesn't have the kiyum ha-mitzvah. His kiyum ha-mitzvah, mitzvah, gmilus chasad, he's doing me a chesed. But I'm being the kind of mitzvah mezuzah, and I don't say the bracha, he says it. So it's usually assumed like this. If I continue to wear the tefillin, I continue to wear the mezuzah, that is oivel asiyosu. I'm still doing a ma'isa mitzvah, I'm wearing it. I'm wearing the tefillin, wearing the tzitzit, and wearing the tefillin. So basically, I should be able to say the bracha without doing anything. It is oivel asiyosu. But in order that it should look a little better, so I touch the tefillin shal yad, and I say the bracha on the tefillin. I touch the tefillin shal rosh, my mashmish b'ayam, and it looks even better. It even looks like it's oivel asiyosu. But let's say I put on a mezuzah and for some reason or another I didn't say a bracha, and then a month later, and I'm going to say a bracha. So the pashta says it's not going to help the mashmish for him. What good is it? I touched the mezuzah. I'm not doing a ma'isa mitzvah now. The touching is lomala v'lamayri. That's the pashta. That's how the classical poskim assumes. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says not so. He says if you put up the mezuzah and for some reason or another you didn't say a bracha, so he said a bracha lady. You touched the mezuzah. You said a bracha lady. So that's Rabbi Kivega and the classical poskim from centuries ago did not assume like that. They assumed that this mamashmish fam only works by tzitzis and tefillin because you're still wearing it.
You're still doing the mitzvah. You don't really even need the mashmish, but it's better.
Yeah.
And when the mitzvah is over, then it doesn't help.
Let's say the person put on tefillin so early in the morning, it was before Mishiyakir's Chaveris, that he doesn't say a bracha on the tefillin, and then he's supposed to say the bracha later in after Shmanesh. And he forgot, and he takes off the tefillin, and then he reminds himself, hey, I forgot to say a bracha over the tefillin today. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. They quote a machlekes, the Rambam and the Or Zeruah. The requirement that the Gemara says that one should always recite the bracha over l'asiyosam, is that li'ikuvah, if he didn't say the bracha before the mitzvah, and you've already finished the mitzvah. I already took off the talus. If I took off the talus 3 hours ago, and I remind myself at 11 o'clock in the morning, that I should have said a bracha at 8 o'clock, so that's lacharasi awesome. It doesn't relate at all. But let's say he just took off the tefillin. He's rolling up the tefillin, putting it away, and he realizes he forgot to say a bracha. So the Ozeruah says that you do say a bracha lacharasi awesome if it's right after. And the Rambam says, no, mashenasek vanasek hafaun, it never makes any sense to say a bracha lacharasi awesome. And Yerideya, in Simon Yutes, that's the Simon of Babichas HaShchita, so the Ramah talks about such a situation. Someone shechs a behemah, so the Gemara says you should really recite the bracha over Asiyasim before you shech. What if he's afraid to say the bracha before? He knows that this behemah has a suffix traces. Every behemah has a suffix traces, but it's a miut. The rov is that it's not going to be a tracer. But let's say this behemah fell down a flight of stairs. And the Allah declares this is a real Sufik tracer. The Allah declares that he has to be bodek for broken bones and punctured lungs and a whole bunch of things. So he shechts and then he's bodek, and then after he's bodek everything turns out to be kosher. So there are more pastors over there like the Ozeruah. And in such a situation, you should say the bracha l'acharasi yosu. But that's a discussion in the Paskin. Doesn't mean that there are more pastors straight like the Ozeruah. In all cases, you can always say the bracha l'acharasi yosam. Maybe over here it's different, because the Gemara said, and the Gemara says later in bracha, around Dasman Beis, so the Gemara says that a ger cannot say the bracha before he's toivel. A ger is toivel in the mikvah, the shem ger is, cannot say the bracha Eva Lasiyos. How can he say Kedushan the Mitzvah to the Tivana? He's not Jewish yet. So the Gemara says, since Akati Gaber Lachazi, since it's the Halacha says he's unable to recite the bracha Eva Lasiyosam, so there the Gemara says, Tavol V'yolo, when he comes out of the mikveh, he should say the bracha Lach Rasiyosam. So that's an exception to the rule because he was unable to say the bracha in advance. So in that case, the Chachamim Tiknu, that the Brichas HaMitzvah should be recited Lach Rasiyosam. So that's what some of the Nesikelim and Simon Yutet and Yeridei think, that the only time the Ramo accepted the position of the Arzarua is if you're shechting a Be'ema that fell down a flight of stairs. And you know in advance that it's a serious Sufik Trefa, and you cannot say a Bracha Lo'ival Asiyosam, it's a real Sufik Bracha Lo'atola. So in such a case where you weren't allowed to say the Bracha before, and then you check the lungs and the ribs and so on and everything is okay, so in that case, the Ramah would pass me that you say the bracha lachem asiyosam because you weren't able to say before. But only if the fellow just forgot to say, he could have said the bracha. He was wearing the talis and silver for an hour. He forgot to say the bracha. So in such a situation, maybe the Ramah would not pass me all the way like the Arzaru. The Arzaru says in all cases, you can always say the bracha lachem asiyosam whenever you didn't say before. I mean, we should say a bracha even if you shech the trefa. They quote Rashi's opinion, and the Shulis Rashi is that one says a bracha even when you know in advance that you're shechting a trefa, because it's metamidei neveva. The shechita is chal. The shechita is not chal hata b'achila, but the shechita is chal to be metamidei neveva. And the Mefarshim say that we don't accept that Rashi shechita. We thought you only recite a bracha over shechita if it's also going to be mata b'achila. So if you know in advance, they think it's a real suffix that it seriously may be a trefa, then you're not allowed to say the bracha, I will ask you. But after you check, then there are more passments that you do say the bracha. They start davening very early. Both are problematic. Yeah. So Shulchan Aruch, they assume that the bigger problem is to say, like you said, the bigger problem is to say, to put on the talis and tefillin, to say the bracha in the middle of Sukkot Zimra. That's the more serious problem. So really everyone should finish Yishtabach and then put on the talis and tefillin and say the bracha. The Chazan though should not, because the Chazan is going to say Yishtabach out loud. So then he's going to start putting on the talis and tefillin. It's going to look very strange. He's going to hold everybody up. But the chazan has no brayer, so the chazan should put on the talis and tefillin before Yishtabach, in the middle of the Pesuk of the Zimmer. Both are not proper, but you have to do the lesser of the two evils. So by the chazan, the lesser of the two evils is to put on the talis and tefillin with the bracha in the middle of the Pesuk of the Zimmer. And by the tzibur, the lesser of the two evils is to put on the mitzvah. Yeah, many do that. Many put on the talis and tefillin all the way before they start to daven, and then they say the bracha after tachna.
Is that preferable?
That's what I would think. I'm going to sleep then when those people are davening, but I'm beginning to sleep. I would assume, I never daven in that minyan, but I would assume that should be better. You should put on the talis and tefillin before you start to daven, and then be memashmeish after tachna.
And the one
in Tosfos,
when did he make the bracha?
One of the Balei HaTosfos, they quote on the fifth line, Rabbeinu Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda said the bracha on the talis and tefillin.
Exactly where?
In between Gal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei.
So that sounds like it's even worse than yet it was allowed.
That's what he says it's allowed. And then the later Balei HaTosfos disagree with both of his points. They disagreed as far as the talis. They said tefillin is significant, talis is not that significant. And then they disagreed about saying a bracha. They said, you don't even see anything more that you say a bracha even on a tefillin. You just see that you wear a tefillin. Say the bracha after tachna. There's no behola to say the bracha now.
Should bracha on shechita also be over Matsyasan if the majority of the behemoths are trained?
You should never say a bracha before you shech. Today, I don't know. today it's the problem because we have so many chumras. We have chumras in Hilchos Shechita, we have chumras in Hilchos Treitas. So it turns out that a lot of times many of the behemoths are not edible. Yeah, but Mikir Adin, let's say the Sheikh isn't going to shecht on the chickens in a minute, or something like that, they shecht very quickly. So then, even if the first one is a treif on a veilet, something's going to be good. So this brother is going to be tachted even to the 20th shechita. The shech so many. Even by the heinous also. The Gemara here on Yud Davar on the base was commenting on what it said in the Mishnah. Why did we decide to arrange Shema v'hoyom Shema and v'hoyomer in that order? V'hoyomer appears in the Chumash before Shema v'hoyom Shema. Shema v'hoyom Shema are in order. But Vayomer is from before, so apparently we're not following the Seder HaKos Matos, and it must be a logical Seder. So the Mishnah Yudgim Lamanal, quoted Rabbi Shua ben Korcho, as saying that Shema has Kabbalah on Machu Shemayim, and Vayom Shema has Kabbalah on Mitzvahs. And Vayomer is on the Nehegas Vayom and the Nehegas Balayla because it deals with the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. And Tzitzis is not Nehegas Balayla. So that's where the Tosis has a comment on Yudavan on the base. This is a famous Tosis, the second Tosis on Yudavar on the base, that if you look in Menachos, this is a Machlekes HaTanaim, whether women are obligated to wear tzitzis or not. If it's a mitzvah, so say Shazman Grama, women are potter. So that's a Machlekes HaTanaim, whether Laila is man tzitzis or Laila loves man tzitzis. So Tosis says, from our Mishnah, you see, this is the accepted opinion, what Rabbi Shulman Korcha said, that Vayom is ain't in the Haggis Balaila, it's only in the Haggis Vayom. So you see that Laila is loves man tzitzis, so therefore we see that women are pater from tzitzis. It's a mitzvah sasei shazmangram. Then Tosfos fact a murderous kasha. There is a gemara menachas daf mem aleph, but there is a machlokes with a tzitzis chayvas talis or chayvas gavra. Means like this: I have a clay kufsa. The gemara says I have an arba kamfus. I have a talis sitting in the drawer in the kufsa, and I'm not wearing it at all. I plan to, by Rosh Hashanah, I'm gonna wear this talis. So white on white talis, he's only gonna wear it for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So does he have to put on tzitzis the minute he brings it home? Or do you say no, he's only mechuyev in tzitzis when he's wearing it. So those are the terms in the Gemara. Chayvas talis means you're mechuyev to put on tzitzis even if you're not wearing it. Chayvas gavra is only when the gavra wears the tzitzis. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that tzitzis is chayvus gavra, it's not a chayvus talis. The kozman, the tzitzis is sitting in the drawer, you're not chayvus to put on tzitzis. So Tosfos says, once you assume like that, they play kufsa, and not chayvus the tzitzis, so then we understand what it means, that you only chayvus tzitzis bayom and not balayla. If you wear the beggar in the daytime, you're chayvus tzitzis, wear the beggar in the nighttime, you're not chayvus tzitzis. That's called the mitzvah sasei shazman gram. But if you hold that tzitzis is a chayvus talis, so what do you mean? In the daytime, the tzitzis is sitting in the drawer. The talis is sitting in the drawer. Let's say I have a store, and I sell talisim. So I have a lot of talisim there that don't have any tzitzis in them. So we pass, you're not chayav to put on tzitzis. According to the other opinion, that tzitzis, klei kufso, achayavim, the tzitzis, what are you going to say? Bayom yechayvim, balayla, you're not chayav. What does that mean? Even if they delivered the talis in the daytime, I have to put on tzitzis on all the talis. If they delivered it at night, I don't have to put on the tzitzis until the next moment. Once I put it on, I got to leave it on.
No, every night you can take it off.
Every night I can take it off. Does that make sense? Does that make sense that's Laila am Pater and Bayom am Chayv, the same talis? So Tosfos thinks it doesn't make any sense. That the beggar doesn't have any concept of time. People have a concept of time. So if you say that the chiyuv to put on tzitzis is only one while you're wearing a beggar, a four corners, if you wear it by yom yechayv, if you wear it by laila, you put them. But if you say the ownership of a beggar, if I possess a beggar with arba kamfes, I'm chayv to put on tzitzis, so Tosfos thinks it doesn't make any sense to say that it makes a difference yom and laila. Truth of the matter is that there's no problem. We don't pass on like that opinion. We pass on, the Gemara has a machlekes in Menachos, whether tzitzis chayvus talis or chayvus gavra. We pass on chayvus gavra, so there's no problem. But they're asking, how can these two opinions live together in peace and harmony? There was an opinion in Menachos that tzitzis is chayvus talis, and we pass on over here that balaylo, you're not chayiv. So what does it mean, balaylo, you're not chayiv? It doesn't make any sense. with respect to the garment, the Keren Oyva says he doesn't understand what the problem is. If they deliver the talis balayla, you don't have to put on tzitzis till the morning. If he put on in the morning, he can take it off at night if he wants. Okay. He doesn't see what the problem is. But Tosfos apparently feels it doesn't make any sense. That the beged, from the perspective of the beged, there is no concept of time. So what are you going to say? That balayla, you're not mechuyiv, and bayom, you are mechuyiv. It's a chavos talis, so it's a chavos talis. So Tosfos comes up with this vapor of a chiddush, that you have to give a different definition. That pajamas are potter, not bayom yichayv and balayla potter. This is not in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this from the Rosh. But the Rosh got it from this Tosfos. So Tosfos says it's not a difference between day and night, it's a difference between ksus yom and ksus layla. That pajamas that you normally wear at night are not chayv and tzitzis. And garments that you normally wear in the daytime would be chayv and tzitzis even if you happen to wear them at night. If you wear ksus yom, talis, if you wear a talis balayla, so according to the Tosfos, you would be chayv. The only thing is that why do they quote in Shulchan Aruch the name of the Rosh? Why don't they quote the name of the Tosfos? Because Tosfos said a shtikal Torah, if you would have held, if you would have, should have, could have. If you would have held like the other opinion, that the tzitzis is a chayvas talis, so then you would be forced into saying that. But we don't hold like that opinion. We pass in tzitzis is chayvas garbis, so there's no problem. So when you wear it in the daytime, you chayv, you wear it in the nighttime, you pata. But the Rosh adopted this definition of Tosfos. Even the Fipsak halacha that we pass in tzitzis is chayvas gavra, he holds that it's still, this is still the definition. That it doesn't depend on day versus night, it depends on ksusam yuchad liyom, as opposed to ksusam yuchad lalayla. So that's the big problem. So why is that called a mitzvah saseh shazmangram? Pajamas are pata. You usually assume that mitzvah saseh shazmangram means that the zman is gorim lechiyuv. When it comes Rosh Hashanah, you have to blow shofar. When it comes Sukkot, you have to shake a lulav. When it comes daytime, you have to wear tefillin. When it comes nighttime, you don't have to wear tefillin. The zman is gorim mechiyuv, and the zman is gorim aptur. Over here, it's not that the zman is gorim mechiyuv. This guy, a four-corner garment is chayv and tzitzis. A three-corner garment is not chayv and tzitzis. A four-corner garment, this pajamas, is not chayv and tzitzis. Eksus ham yuchad balayla. So that's a chiddush that Tosfos is saying. That we label this as a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, even though the zman is not gorim to the chiyuv mitzvah. Even though only zman plays a role in the chiyuv mitzvah, aksus ham yuchad lalaylo is not chayv. Aksus ham yuchad alom is chayv in tzitzis. So since zman plays a role in determining whether the mitzvah applies, so that's also considered a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. That's a whopper of a chiddush, but that's what you see from this text. If you wear a ksus amiyuchad leyom balaylo, a talis katan or a talis gadol, it's not miyuchad leyla, it's yom v'layla. Miyuchad leyom v'layla.
But our minhag
that
we create the
fear
by wearing a talis
katan. Yeah, Tosfos writes in Menachos, we go out of our way to wear, they don't sell these in a normal store, you got to go to a Judaic store. They don't sell four-corner garments. So our minhag is that we go out of our way in order to buy a four-corner garment, in order to obligate ourselves in the mitzvah. So Tosfos said, where did that come from? Medina the Gemara, it's only if you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you're obligated to put on tzitzit. If you're not wearing it, you're not obligated to. So Tosfos says, that comes from the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Saita, he asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire so much to go to Eretz Yisrael? If the man is Abba Moshe to go to Eretz Yisrael, he chalef on the period of the Zbeya Mituva, he wanted to go swimming in the Kinneret, and he wanted to enjoy the delicious food in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, no, he wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael because there are certain mitzvahs that you can only fulfill if you live in Eretz Yisrael. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have the obligation. You don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the obligation. So we still don't understand. What was the answer that the Gemara gave? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire to live in Eretz Yisrael? If whoever lives there becomes obligated to fulfill more mitzvahs. If you don't live there, you're not obligated. So you see that there's an inyan to put yourself in a situation where you'll become obligated to fulfill more mitzvahs. So that's what we do. We put ourselves in a situation by putting on a four-cornered garment, and we obligate ourselves to put on tzitzit. So other Balei HaTosfos say, yeah, when we'll all be on the Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, then it makes sense. Who's on Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega? Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to put himself into a situation, into a circumstance, that he would become obligated to more mitzvahs. But not everybody is on that Madrega. And then the minhag developed that we try to be on the madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu. That we go out of our way to buy a four-corner garment in order to obligate ourselves in the mitzvah, even though strictly speaking we're not obligated.
So
that we have a minhag
for whatever reason, we do create the
gear,
that's the minhag we have.
Right.
But so that we look at this as a
Yichud
Le'Yom
V'Laila, so it's a Yichud Le'Yom V'Laila, so the bottom line is that minhag is also that Nachalaila, where our, we create a field even through the night.
According to the
Rosh,
we're the time
of Yisrael. No, let's say a person will put on a talis at night. Someone davens Ma'ariv and he puts on a talis. It's going to be a long for a few hours. So he doesn't say a bracha if he puts on the talis balayla because it will be a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh in the Tesis. The Rambam holds a balayla, the mitzvah doesn't apply. And the Rosh and the Tesis say, no, a ksus layla, the mitzvah doesn't apply. But the talis is a ksus yom, which you happen to be wearing balayla. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should never put on a talis balayla because he's involved in a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh, whether he should say a bracha. So you should always make sure you put on the talis on Yom Kippur, Mabo Yom. Atifa Satal should be before the Shkia, so it should be about doors that you say a bracha.
So we wear idol candles, we wear it every day, and you know, usually we last into the night because that's the way the schedule goes. We still have it on every night.
Right.
And that is called a Ksus Yom or a Ksus Yom Belayla.
Ksus Am Yichud Beyom Vilayla. We wear it all day and all night, right? When we go to sleep, we don't wear our clothes, we wear pajamas, yeah.
So what if the Rosh say about Ksus, which is Yichud Beyom Vilayla?
The same, as the Skype and Sitz, the same
right.
As the Tesis. Yeah, Tesis
so
quotes in the Shaman.
For the Rosh to say part to, it has to be a you only wear that.
Liuchad Lalaila, right. Kusam Liuchad Lalaila.
Hardly ever would have it on a day.
Right.
Somebody raised the question with blanket in the morning.
Yeah, by Kilayim, there are two psukim. There's a prohibition, La Silva Shatnes. You're not allowed to wear clothing with shatnas, a shirt, and so on, trousers. Then there's another part that says, beggar climb shatnas lo yale alecha, ha'alo. Let's say I have a stack, a garbage stack that I'm holding on my shoulder, and the garbage stack happens to have shatnas. So there's not shatnas in mutabah, no. I can have a garbage bag made from shatnas. But if I'm going to have it leaning on my body, and I'm going to get pleasure from the fact that it's chilly in the basement, let's say, so I'm going to take down the garbage stack on my shoulder to warm me up, so that's the prohibition of ha'aloh. There's a din of levisha and shatnas. There's a din of ha'aloh. The Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlekes arishayim. What about by tzitzis? Do you say also there are two din by tzitzis that an arba kamfas, a four corner garment that you wear is chayv in tzitzis, and a four cornered, let's say, a blanket that you cover over your body with is also chayv in tzitzis? Or do you say no, that these two psukim, levisha and ha'aloh, that's only by shatnas. There are no two psukim by tzitzis. So by tzitzis, it's only a beggar that you wear. So the generally accepted opinion is like 99-1, the Rishonim. The Ruba of the regular Rishonim, nobody holds in this din that you have to put on tzitzis on a blanket. The Magen Avraham quotes some obscure Rabbi Elio from London or some one of the out-of-the-way Rishonim, not a Rashi and a Tzitzis, not one of the famous names. He quotes one of the obscure Rishonim and says, no, that he thinks that you have in tzitzis even in a blanket. So we learn that from shatnas, that whenever there's a din of levisha, it carries with it a din of ha'aloh as well. So that's what some tzaddikim were machmer. There is a machlekes in the Gemara and a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether the obligation to put on tzitzis only applies min ha'Torah if the garment is made from tzema or pishtim, or even if it's made from other materials. So since there are those who are of the opinion that other materials, other than tzemer or pishtim, the chiyuv tzitzis is only midirabbanan, so they would be meikel that if they would use a blanket made from other minim, they wouldn't be choshish with this opinion. But if the blanket would be made from tzemer, a woolen blanket, pishtim is probably unlikely to make a linen blanket. But let's say you have a sheet, let's say you have a linen sheet that you cover yourself up with. So linen for sure, a four-corner garment, if it's a garment that you wear, is chayv in tzitzis min ha'Torah. So there, some would be machmer to round out a corner. Then no one would be machmer to put on tzitzis on it. There would be machmer to round out a corner, so for sure it's not chayv in tzitzis. But if the sheep would be made from katna, from some other kind of material, neither tzema nor pishtim, So then they weren't even choshish for this opinion. They were only choshish by similar opinion.
Why do you assume, why do you assume that both sheets go into the position that it's gavra? Maybe there's only the Mazer that the life supposed to go to the finish. Right? Those go on this big finish. It says that even though there is no, even though Man is not going, it still makes it into a, right? Those says even though it's not.
It's considered a mitzvah sasesha as man grama, even though this man doesn't determine the chiyuv. Right, but since it does play, the man plays a role in determining whether there's a mitzvah tzitzis, a beged yom miskayif, and a beged laila is pater, so that's also considered a mitzvah sasesha as man grama.
Right,
a big finish.
Right, but those who assume the creator of it is that both positions are going into the original focus of gavra, you know, Gavra, or the Kufsa, so why don't you say that's on the
Kufsa? Yeah. Easier Kiddush to handle? Then what? That, you know, the Kufsa, one of the Kufsa's more over here. What I'm saying is, why don't you just say that the Chiyuv of, I'm saying it's right, but not saying it right, but the Chiyuv of the Kufsa is only way to come up. See, this, there is a machlekes whether Tzitzis is Man Grama Anat, Hayichai Balayla. That we have a Pesach. The Nishnah Yud Gimel Amen Aleph says that Vayom is Eina Nehegas Bayom, Ela Bayom, that Tzitzis doesn't apply Balayla. So that's the Seish. So we consider Tzitzis Amitzus HaSeish as Man Grama. So now Tyson says that's a Mishnah and that's the Pesach. Now Menaches, it's a Machlekes Amaroyim, where the clay cooks are high. So how can you have a Machlekes Amaroyim? It is a Pesach and a Mishnah already. That's why they got stuff. Yeah, let's say a person goes swimming at night. He goes, plays basketball at night. He takes off the abercrombie because he doesn't want to sweat it up. And then after an hour of basketball, an hour of swimming, then he wants to get dressed again. He's going to put on the tzitzis. After not wearing the tzitzis for an hour in the daytime, if you put on the tzitzis, you say another bracha. But if it's balayla, that'll be a machlekes tesis in the Rambam, the Rosh and the Rambam. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's better not to put it on. That's another question. What's the minimum size that the abakams has to be that you can say bracha? So somehow people, each person works out some kind of a cheshbon on that, how big his abakams should be that should allow him to say bracha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people never say. Some people never say a bracha on an abakams. Okay. One never says enough bracha. No problem. But if one normally says, in the daytime one would say bracha on an abakampus, so at night time you shouldn't say, even though unless he's going to take a shower just for 10-15 minutes. No, you take off abakampus, put it back on 10-15 minutes later, that's not a hesach hadat. But if he takes off the abakampus for an hour, he's taking a bath and he's singing away, and he's reading a novel in the bathtub. So he takes a bath for an hour, then he puts on the abakampus, that if it would have been in the daytime, he would have had to say another bracha. So if it's a nighttime, it's a suffix bracha. So you shouldn't say the bracha, so it's in Shulchan Aruch. It's preferable not to put on the whole arba kampus at all at night. Then the Gemara on Tezvav and Manal speaks about the importance of washing your hands before you daven. Echad b'nikoyen kapai, I wash off my hands, a pasuk in Tehillim. Asovva is mitzbachach Hashem. So the Gemara says, what if you don't have any water, what should you do? So he says, well, the pasuk doesn't really say echad b'mayim kapai, it says echad b'nikoyon kapai. If you don't have water, so you use a midi d'minak. If you have water, you should use the water to wash until it's your time. Some Rishonim say that that's the bracha, that there are three opinions in the Rishonim. The Gemara says at the end of the Sichlin, when you wake up in the morning, you wash until it's your time. So you wash your hands, you say a bracha. So what is the bracha all about? So the Rambam's opinion is that bracha should be recited three times a day, when you wash before Shachris, when you wash before Mincha, when you wash before Ma'ariv. We don't do like that, but the washing before Mincha Ma'ariv should be. More correct is that one should wash with a cup of water before he davens Mincha Ma'ariv, unless he just washed right before, and it was Meshama Yadayim. Yeah, the Rambam's opinion is that just like Netilas Yadayim in the morning, Netilas Yadayim in the morning, you recite a bracha because of davening, not because of the other reasons. The Rambam holds the real reason is because of davening. So the Rambam holds that Mincha Ma'ariv is the same as Shachris.
But is it called gavra
So you need koyach gavra. The Gemara in Chulin says you need koyach gavra for the tilis adayin for bread. So you need koyach gavra for this. So that's a question in Shulchan Aruch. I thought you do. I thought it said you do. That some poskim say that the faucet is a kli. The tzitzel yez has the whole sugar. He thinks that you can wash directly from the faucet and the tilis adayin for bread also. He thinks that you don't need another kli. The faucet itself constitutes a kli because there's a container of water somewhere and it's going through the pipes till it goes through the faucet and it comes out, but it's coming from a kli somewhere. Yeah, more correct is should use a cup. Yeah.
And from
the quote from the Vilna, yeah, more correct is to wash with a cup. Yeah. The quote from the Vilna Goyen and from Rabbi Kivega that their practice was when they woke up in the morning, they would wash in Tilis Yadayim to take off the Ruach Ra. That's how we usually assume Tilis Yadayim in the morning is in order to remove the issue of Ruach Ra. But they wouldn't say the Baruch on Tilis Yadayim until after they would be all dressed and ready to daven. So then they would wash again with a cup, once on the right hand, once on the left hand. Immediately before they would be about to daven, the last time they would wash their hands, they had to tie their shoes and so on. So the last time they washed their hands before they would be about to daven, then they would say the bracha on the tilis yadayim. Because according to the Rambam's opinion, the bracha is not because you're removing the ruach ra, and not because you're a bria chadasha, but rather because of the tilis yadayim for tefillah, for davening. So the first tilis yadayim is not going to lead up to the davening, because you're going to have to tie your shoes later on. You're going to have to wash your hands again. So that's what they quote, the Vilna Gaon. Rabbi Kivega had that practice that they would always wash, the last time they would wash in the Tilis Yadayim before they would daven Shachris is when they would recite the Brach. Then the Gemara says, sometimes you see Hasidim, everybody's about to daven Mincha, and they're running to the mikveh. They're running to the mikveh to go to mikveh before the daven. They're running to find some water to wash in Tilis Yadayim. They're going to go to the mikveh, or they go to mikveh for Shachris. They're going to mikveh before Shabbos. They're going to miss the whole Shabbos. A lot of times they miss the whole davening field of the Tzibur. So the Gemara says that that's not right. The Gemara says right before the Mishnah and says, Vav and Aleph, Rav Chizda Lait Amad Mahadar Amaya beaten Slois. Rav Chizda was very upset. Lait means he would curse. I don't know if it means to be taken literally. He would admonish those who would be looking for water. It's a very shame sight to daven Shachris Amincha. They're going to miss this man of the davening. So that's not right. If you're on time, you should wash your hands and you should go to the mikveh, fine. If you're late, so that's not a time to start looking for water. And the Gemara says, what if the person really, he doesn't have any water now, he would like to daven mincha now, but he doesn't have any water. He wants to daven mincha in order to be able to eat a big meal, let's say. And he has his whole day planned out. But he doesn't have any water. So the Gemara says, if it'll take him a half an hour, till he's going to travel right there, he'll be able to get a minyan over there. There will be water. So the Gemara says he should go ad parsa. He should, how long is a parsa? A parsa is 4 mil. A mil, we assume, is around 18 minutes or so, 22 and a half minutes. So let's say 22 and a half minutes times 4 is a parsa. So how much is that? 90 minutes. So you should postpone your davening, your plans to daven, up until an hour and a half later, if you think you'd be able to get water later. What happens?
He doesn't have to go out of his way. He's going forward.
Right. He's not going out of his way. How much time do you have to lose? How much time do you have to lose? Are you mechuyev to lose in order to... See, if it's with davening mincha, it's right before the shkia, so you daven mincha, you don't look for the water. And if it's zman shachar, so you don't look for the water. That's it. It's early in the afternoon. He has lots of time. So how much time is he mechuyev to lose in order to get water to wash his hands before mincha? So the Gemara says, pachas mimil out of his way. A mil is 22 and a half minutes. So if he'll travel out of his way 22 minutes that way, 22 minutes back, let's say 45 minutes. So one is mukhayyib to lose 45 minutes of his precious time in order to, the Gemara says, in order to daven tefillah b'tzibur. And here the Gemara says, in order to get water to wash your hands. But if it's be'idan tzlaisa, and now we're up to the, it's time to daven shach, it's time to daven mincha now, it's the last chance, then you don't start looking for water. Then Sigmar.
What's called leading the match? How do you define? For them, the hands were always dirty. Because they didn't have what we had. We were always washing our hands. So it's very hard to have dirty hands for us. I mean, especially we don't do physical work, you know. We're holding pencils and pens and papers. So our hands almost never get dirty. So what's called dirty for us?
So it's not dirty. Okay.
And people, some people can't get worse. Their other hand's on the wall.
Yes.
Very often they make their hand dirtier than it was before.
Yes, so that does not make sense. Then the world is not immediate in that.
You have to find something that for us is clean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Not to wipe his hands on a shirt.
Nah.
I don't think you accomplish anything. It doesn't make his hands cleaner. The hands were clean before. It's the Menachem mean. Somehow his hands are a little sticky or greasy, so he'll wipe off on a paper towel. If he doesn't have the water, he'll use a paper towel or a towel and wipe off the grease on his hands. But if he doesn't have any grease on his hands, so what's he accomplishing by using a midi de Menachem? Yeah?
Why
the hachana
here? Just to show
your... No, the hachana is if his hands are dirty and this is going to clean them. But if his hands are clean without it, he's not gaining anything.
So then we'll go back to the shoelace. For us, tying shoelace doesn't make your hands dirty.
Right, that's some poskim hold like that. That touching the shoes only constitutes a problem in Europe where they didn't have paved streets. So when you would walk on the street, you would be walking in mud puddles all the time. And your shoes would be absolutely filthy. So you touch your shoes, so you see your fingers are going to get all full of mud. But Bisman is there that the shoes are not filthy, so some of the person said there's no problem. Touching your shoes is no problem.
Even for bread?
You
wash the middle of a meal when you tie your shoes?
We're machmir and not like that. We're machmir against that. It's a question. The next Mishnah quotes two disputes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. In one case, Rabbi Yehuda is the Mekel, in one case, Rabbi Yossi is the Mekel. The Gemara says, we pass them like both of them, Lahokel. Halacha Kdivish name Lahokel. That's in the middle of Tezvav on the base. The Gemara has one line. Amar Abtevim, Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Kdivish name Lahokel. What are the two machlekes in? One machlekes is, when you recite Kriyashma, you're not supposed to read with your mind. You're supposed to pronounce the words. So what if he pronounced the words so softly that he wasn't Mashmir Liyazna? Let's say he's a little older and he can't hear so well. He didn't put on his hearing aid, and he doesn't hear what he's saying. So, are you yotzei kriyas shma if you didn't say it loud enough that you can hear it yourself? Or let's say it's a shul, everybody is stolen a beis medrash, everybody's screaming out loud, and when you say the kriyas shma, you can't hear yourself think. So, are you yotzei kriyas shma if you didn't hear the reciting? So that's the machleg zavir rav yotzei. Gemara says we paskan lahokel. Then there's another machleg zavir rav yotzei. Lo diktek yotzei yosef. He didn't really pronounce the letters properly. He slurs the letters. He mispronounces a little bit here and there. Basically, he said the Kriya Shema correctly. He didn't mispronounce to the extent that he misrepresented a word, but he didn't pronounce them accurately. He says Mila'els, Mila'ra, Kamet, and a Patach, and with a Dogish, without a Dogish. Sloppy Kriya Shema. So we pass on the B'diyavid, one is Yotz. We pass on the Hakalam Bo. So on the first machlokes is whether Loi Hishmir Liyaznam is Yotza, the Gemara has a long sugya. So the Gemara first assumes, goes on and on and on, and says, Vav and Allah fill the top of Amad Beis. The Gemara assumes that this is a machlokes in all mitzvahs of Amira. That that person is deaf. Is he obligated to recite Kiddush and Abdullah? He's not going to hear himself say the Kiddush and Abdullah. Birchas HaMazon, Davening, Kriyashma. So, Kiddush, if you're not supposed to say, if you're not yet to Kiddush, then you say the Bracha Levatola. So let's say the fellow is deaf, he can't hear himself, absolutely can't hear himself say the Kiddush at Abdullah. So would you say that a deaf person should say Kiddush and Abdullah? Part of more mitzvahs of Amira. So that's the machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. According to the Tana who holds that, according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Lo Hishmir Liyazno is Lo Yotza, so he shouldn't bother, honest, okay, so he shouldn't bother to say Kiddush and Abdullah, Abichas Amos, and Kriyashma, you do say, you don't say, do whatever you want, it's not there. But Kiddush and Abdullah, Abichas Amos, and it's a Bracha Levatola. Well, let's say the fellow is absolutely deaf, and he's going to be the Balkarei in Shul, and he's going to be the Megillah for everybody else. But if he doesn't hear himself, he's honest, he's Pata. So who has Mishen and Bechui Vedavar, and Emotia Sachem and Dechaibasam? So there's a Mishnah Megillah that a Cheresh should not be the Balkari to read the Megillah. What do you mean a Cheresh? So usually a Cheresh means Nishena Shemeh Veinah Medaber. Usually means a deaf mute. Here obviously it's not referring to a deaf mute. How can it be the Balkari? There's nothing to discuss. It means he's only deaf. Cheresh over here in this context means that he's deaf. So the Mishnah says the Chevish cannot read the Megillah. So the simple meaning is he's not going to see anybody with the Megillah because he's not Mechuyev B'davar. Why is not Mechuyev B'davar? He's unable to fulfill a mitzvah on his own because he's Ein Shemeah. So he's not in the Yotze B'Rievet. He's part of from Kiddush and Avdala, Mikvah Megillah and Kriya Shema. So the Sugya assumes that they're all together on one boat. Every mitzvah of Amira is subject to this Machleg Zabira Rabbi Yosef. Then you get to the middle of Amid Beis. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yosef disagrees. That's what the Tosis points out. On Tezvav Amid Beis, the second Tosis, Avol B'Sham Mitzvahs. The Tosis says, on Amid Aleph, we had a whole Gemara, and Tosis pointed it out, that the Gemara is making an equation, Kiddush, Abdullah, and Benching, and Mikra Megillah, and Kriyashma, everything is in the same boat, whether you need Mashmi or Liyazim or not. All of a sudden, on Amid Beis, Rabbi Yosef says, no, that the whole source of the Machlek is only Shema, Shema Hashma Liyaznacha, that's only by Kriya Shema. By other mitzvahs, you don't have such a pasuk. So Rabbi Yosef splits between the two. So Tosfos says, that is correct. It's a Machlek, so Rabbi Yosef is in disagreement with the whole Tchilas HaSugya. The whole Tchilas HaSugya on Amid Aleph goes 40 lines in the Gemara, goes on and on and on and on. The Gemara assumes that all the mitzvahs of Amira are subject to the machlokes of Yehuda Rabbi Yosef, and on the days Rabbi Yosef disagrees with all the other Amorim. He says no, the whole machlokes only was by Kriya Shema. Aval b'shar mitzvahs the Yaakol Yuah Yosef. So you don't need mashmiliyot. Okay. Yeah. He was a Sagi Nor, but I don't think he was dead. Could be. I don't know. Could be that that's what motivated him to say this position.
It would depend on the environment
you're in.
You're on the train, it'll be different than if you're not on the train.
Why?
You're annoyed the atmosphere.
Yeah, you have to really scream out loud, sure. Yeah. So in the middle of the discussion, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah and Trumas. The Mishnah starts the beginning of Masechus Trumas. Chamisha lai Truma. There are five people who should not be Mafresh Truma. Vim Torma, ain't Trumas and Truma. Even if the Yevet, if the Mafresh Truma is not Kal. So the three of them are Cherishai to the cotton, because Allah Barda, so they can't create Truma. The Truma has to be a Barda. And the other two are people that Torma Sheinu Shalom, a Mafresh Truma, on someone else's tevel. I'm not the balabas, so he never authorized me, never made me a shaliach. Then the Mishnah has another couple of people, shelo yitromu v'im tormu b'diyavet trumas and truma. A whole bunch of other people that l'chatzile, they shouldn't be mafresh truma, but b'diyavet, if the mafresh truma, it would be good. So one of them is orum, a person is naked. So when you're mafresh truma, you're supposed to recite a bracha, asher kereshanu b'vissos v'tzivanu, ala frashat truma. So the orum is not allowed to say a bracha. So l'chatzile, he should not be mafresh truma because he'll have to leave out the bracha. But for the Eved, if he's mafresh truma and he didn't say the bracha, so the bracha is not miyakev. Why the bracha is not miyakev? So the Gemara says on his daf, you cannot say that a bracha is miyakev. The mitzvah is a mitzvah min ha-Torah, and the institution of reciting brichas ha-mitzvah is only mid the rabbanon, bracha the rabbanon. The truma is a mitzvah min ha-Torah, and the bracha is only a brichas ha-mitzvah mid the rabbanon, v'ma b'bracha talya milse. You cannot say that bracha is on the atlas. That's the Loshon HaGemara here on Tezvav HaMenal. That's the, from this Loshon HaGemara, the Tezvei HaRosh has a comment. It would appear from the Gemara that if you were to have a mitzvah deraisa, which would require a bichas ha-mitzvah mideraisa, then there's room to say that the bracha is miyakes. An innocent comment. That's what the Tezvei HaRosh says. The Gemara says the reason why bichas ha-mitzvah is not miyakes, if you're mafresh truma, you didn't say bracha, the hafrasha is effective, you hear it in the mitzvah of hafrasha's truma. Because you can't say that brichas ha-mitzvah is mi'akeh. The whole bracha is the rabbanon, the hafrasha's truma is the raisa. So the Rosh says innocently, if you were to have a mitzvah that would be minatora, and the bracha would be minatora, so it would be mi'akeh. So that's what some say, brichas ha-torah is the raisa. So if a person learns Torah and he didn't recite the brichas ha-torah, then maybe he's not yet to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
That's strange, because not because Elena group, the Chachami means to do the bracha. Because it's an independent action. Why should, even if the bracha is in the right, but the accomplishment is there when you do the mitzvah. So the bracha, logically, is a secondary activity. Even if the Torah requires it.
Right, so you're giving a different svara from the Gemara, but the Gemara explained why the bracha is not miyakeh, because the mitzvah is minatar and the bracha is only with the Rabbanon. So the Tosfei HaRosh is Medayik on the Loshon HaGemar. It would appear that if the mitzvah and the bracha with both Bima and Atarit sounds from this Gemara, the Gemara's logic. You say you have a better logic. You have a different explanation why. But based on the explanation the Gemara gives, so it would appear as if one learns Torah and he didn't say a bracha, then the bracha is Miyakeh. So that's why in the yeshivas they announce on Parsha Zohar that everybody should have in mind to be yotze with the Kriya of the Parsha Zohar, and everybody should have in mind to be yotze with the bracha of the Oyla LaTorah on the Parsha Zohar. Where did that come from? So the Prima Godim says like that, based on this Tosfei HaRosh, the Parsha Zohar is their Isa, and the Brichas HaTorah is their Isa. So if you're going to learn Parsha Zohar without saying the bracha, as far as that you're not yotze. Why did you lose me? That was a sleight of hand. How did you lose me?
Well, I assume the person, the guy in yeshiva, said Brichas Torah in the morning.
Oh.
What is the bracha before and after the bracha?
That's what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wrote a letter to the Dvar Avram, which is included in the Shuvah Dvar Avram. So he says he's never heard of any Pesach in the world. He never booked in the Prima Gaon. He says he's never heard of any Pesach in the world who said that if you learn Parsha Zohar and you didn't say the Brichas HaTorah, that you're not Yotze. The Prima Gaon says like that. So he said, why not? I better coin to the Tosfei HaRosh, Parsha Zohar is their Isa, the Brichas HaTorah is their Isa. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says, the Brichas HaTorah for an Aliyah, that's not their Isa. The Brichas HaTorah in the morning is their Isa before you start learning for the day. The fact that you have to say another bracha when you get an Aliyah, that's only their Rabbanim. That's what's usually assumed. Right. Some Achrayim have a Chiddush, they think the Yerushalmi holds that Brichas HaTorah is only their Isa when it's Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. That is correct. That is correct. The only thing is that in some communities in Germany they started a practice that the women who have little children say they don't go to shul in the morning, so they want the women to hear Parsha Zohar. So they take out a Sefer Torah 5 minutes before Mincha and they learn Parsha Zohar for the women, especially for the women, but they don't say any Brichas HaTorah at all. So that's a question. But Rav Chana thinks that that's not a problem either. He thinks, everybody said Brichas HaTorah in the morning. We don't worry about that Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi thinks that Brichas HaTorah is only their Isa when it's Betziba, when it's Kriyas HaTorah Betziba. So getting back again, so the Mishnah says that in Orum, a person who's not clothed, a naked person, Lo Yitrom, should not be Machrish Shumah because he won't be able to recite the Brach Nim Torah, Trumas Shumah. That the Yevid, if he'll be Machrish Shumah, he won't say the Bracha. So the Bracha is not Miyakiv. Then it says, similarly, Acherish, Hamadabe Ve'enish Ameya, Lo Yitrom, Lechatkili Shanah Pi Machrish Shumah, and that the Yevid in Torah, Shumah Se Shumah, the Shumah is good. So the Gemara says, why should he not be Machrish Shumah? What's wrong? So the Gemara says, because he won't be able to say the Bracha. One won't be able to say the Bracha. He can't speak. He just can't hear. So the Mishnah in Trumas apparently thinks, like Rabbi Yossi, that if you're not Mashmir Liyaznov, you're not Yotze. So why is the Yevit Trumas a Truma? So the Gemara says, because the Bracha is not Miyakev. Even if you wouldn't say the Bracha at all, the Bracha is not Miyakev.
The question is the statement, this is Truma, has to be the Truma.
No, Truma is Chav B'machshava. Truma can be Chav B'machshava also, so that doesn't need Mashmir Liyaznov. So that's how the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. So then the Gemara talks, and the Gemara finally comes out to the Maskana that there are three opinions in the Tanaim over here. Rabbi Yossi holds the Mashmir Liyaznov is Likub and all mitzvahs, Kiddush Avdol, Bichas Amazon, Kriyas HaMegillah, Kriyas Shema, everything. It's Ma'akad that he have it. Rabbi Yudeh holds that you don't even need Lachatchila to be Mashmir Liyaznov, and we pass in the middle sheet that the Lachatchila should be Mashmir Liyaznov, and but he have it, Yoytze, even if Lo Hishmir Liyaznov. So then the Gemara has a discussion regarding that Mishnah Megillah. This is the last three lines on the Omri. Let's say like this. Let's say we pass in the B'dievid, a person is Yotze Kiddush, even if he doesn't hear, he's Yotze Kiddush. So let's say a deaf person, he can't be Yotze Kiddush from someone else, because he's not Shomea. He has no choice. He has to say Kiddush on his own. He's not Mashmir Liyaznov. Under the circumstance, that's the best he can do. So he's Mechuyav to say the Kiddush, even though he can't hear. What about, let's say, the grandfather? He's 95 years old. He always says Kiddush on Pesach night, but he can't hear. So, Gesund, hey, let him say Kiddush. Can he be Moitzi us with the Kiddush? If he's deaf, And he says the Kiddush perfectly. The Nigan with the Ivra, everything is fine. Can he be Mike Yosef the Kiddush? So we hear, there's no problem, we hear, but he's only Yosef the Eved. So can he be Mike Yosef HaTchila if he himself is only Yosef the Eved? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says we cannot exceed how much he's being Yosef. Shamea Kaina means we're joining in with him. But if he's not Mashmir Yosef, he's only Yosef the Eved, even though we can hear.
So we'll be Yosef the Eved.
So we'll only be Yotze b'di'evit. We won't be Yotze l'hatchila. Right. That's how the Gemara suggests Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Megillah says you shouldn't allow a cherish, a deaf person, to read the Megillah. But the person can read. He's not a cherish, ain't a shomea, ain't a medaber, just ain't a shomea. But he is medaber. So the Gemara says maybe when it says in the Mishnah the cherish and not be the balkar, maybe it means l'hatchila. We're not Yotze l'hatchila, we'll only be Yotze b'di'evit. So that's a chiddush that the Gemara has. The Gemara says that we cannot be Yotze more than he himself is Yotze. Rabbi Neza has a discussion of this topic. Let's say the Baal Tokei already blew Shofar in Shul. And after benching on Rosh Hashanah, he goes to the hospital to blow Shofar for all the patients there. So let's say he's going to put earplugs in his ear and he's not going to hear the tekiyos at all. Are the listeners Yotze? If he's blowing shofar for them, they hear perfectly. But he doesn't hear the tekiyos that he's blowing. So he says, but for tekiyos shofar, a deaf person for sure is not chayav in tekiyos shofar. Let's say a person is deaf, he can't hear at all.
He's not deaf. He's not hearing.
He's not hearing. So the Rabbi Neza thinks that this Gemara is saying, what does the Gemara mean to say? That the one who's listening cannot be Yotze to a greater extent than the one who's saying the Kiddush. Or the Gemara is saying no, that Shemea Kaina means it's a joint effort between the one who's saying the Kiddush and the one who's listening to the Kiddush. The one who's saying the Kiddush is being Yotze along with us. We're all being Yotze together. So that's why we cannot be Yotze to a greater extent than the one who's saying the Kiddush. So let's say the one who's saying the Kiddush is not listening at all, can't hear at all. Let's say, by Tkiyah Shofar, he's not listening at all to the Tkiyahs. So the Avnei thinks, based on this Gemara, that the listeners are not Yotze either. Shomea Kohen means that we are listening along with him, we're all being Yotze together. But if he's not listening at all, by Tkiyah Shofar, you for sure need listening. If the one who's blowing the Shofar has these earplugs, and he doesn't hear a word, doesn't hear any of the Kohelis at all, they think, based on this Gemara, that you can't apply Shomea Kohen. He thinks that Yotze Maitze means that when I already blew Shofar, I'm 99% Yotze, but I'm not 100% Yotze. Because of Arbus Kozman, that there's still a Jew left somewhere in the world who didn't hear Shofar yet, so I'm still mechuyev to blow Shofar if that'll help him. It's not going to help him. If I listen to Shofar a second time and he'll listen along with me, so that'll be Shamea Koina. Yotze Maitze has to boil down to a form of Shamea Koina. I'm still mechuyev to blow Shofar if it'll help another Jew. If I'm just going to blow shofar again a second time for myself, I already was Yotze, I gained nothing by the second tekiyos. But if I blow shofar a second time, I will enable another Jew to be Yotze. I'm mechuyev to blow shofar a second time. I'm mechuyev to blow shofar and listen to the tekiyos shofar. But if my blowing the shofar is, I'm going to put in earplugs I won't hear at all, so I'm not being Yotze anything. So then the other fellow can't be Yotze along with me. He can't say Shemeh Koina. Shemeh Koina means he's joining along with me. It's a joint fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's why he cannot exceed the Shamea, can't be Yotze l'chatzchil if I'm only Yotze b'di'evit. So if I'm not even listening at all, by the Shofar, you need Shmiya. If the one is Tokei, is not listening at all, so that means it thinks that the listeners are not Yotze at all. That's a Chiddush.
What we said before about Megillah,
the one
who can't hear, can
he do Megillah
himself?
Megillah is the same as Kiddush
and Abdullah. Shofar is different?
Shofar is different.
How do we know the shofar is different?
The Mishnah says, if you're blowing shofar in a bor, and you only hear the kol havara, so you're not Yotze. Even though you're blowing the shofar.
That's different from Megillah.
Yeah. Megillah is a mitzvah. To read the Megillah, Rabbi Yotze would require mashmir liyaznav, and we would say that b'di'evit, even without mashmir liyaznav,
you're Yotze. The eager and the hearing is the way to fulfill reading.
Right.
But
by shofar, the eager is the hearing. That's how we assume. Okay, Baruch Hashem. I just mentioned before that the next 2 weeks I won't be able to give the shiur. So I wish everybody a pleasant summer.
going back to the consensus.